new report out today says child poverty is up in 38 states.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's one of those reports that when you put it in the context of the current economic climate, makes complete sense. But the Annie E. Casey Foundation survey stings no less. The child poverty rate in this country rose by 18% between 2000 and 2009. And a daunting 7.8 million kids have at least one parent who's unemployed. Laura Speer is Associate Director for Policy Reform and Data at the Casey Foundation. She's here to talk about the report now. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
We're seeing that nationally the official poverty rate is up and that almost 8 million children have at least one parent that is out of work. What does that mean for families and children across this country?
This affects kids in lots of ways. The first, of course, is the amount of income that's coming into the household. But there's also an impact on the amount of stress that the family's under. There's a likelihood that they may have to move. 5.3 million children were affected by foreclosure between 2007 and 2009 in the U.S. It's a lot of kids.
A lot of hard-hit states as far as foreclosures go, California, Nevada, that have been really hard-hit. What's going on in those states?
We found that in terms of children with at least one unemployed parent, in California, about 13% of all the kids in the state had at least one unemployed parent. But the state that leads the pack is Nevada. 16% of children in Nevada had at least one unemployed parent. And then looking at the foreclosure numbers, starting with Nevada having the highest rate, followed by Florida, Arizona, and California. And we know those are the states with big foreclosure impacts, and kids haven't been spared.
This is quite a hole to dig ourselves out of. I mean, what does it mean for the economic future of this country?
These are the kids who are going to be the innovators, we hope, in the future that's going to help move our economy back out of where the hole that we're in now. So what we hope is that policymakers don't forget that there are kids being impacted by the recession, and they're also the ones who are most likely to be impacted by many of the decisions that are being made in terms of how to spend government resources.
Laura Speer from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Laura, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ is off about 0.4%, but the Dow is higher by 36 points, about 0.3% at 11,442. Inflation ticked up last month. Prices that retailers pay for items they sell to consumers rose by 0.2% because of things like food and energy and pricier tobacco products, too. Many of the companies that make those tobacco products are suing the federal government. They want to stop a plan that would make them put graphic labels on cigarette packs starting next year, images such as blackened lungs. Well, the tobacco companies say those labels violate free speech by requiring them to carry a government-sponsored appeal to not use a product that is legal. Bill Singer is an attorney in New York. He's with us now to talk about this story. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So warnings have been on cigarette packs for a long, long time here in the U.S. What's at the center of this new tobacco argument?
Their complaint is that they are being forced to advocate against smoking when they argue that it's a legal product. The contra side of that argument is that commercial speech may legally be regulated by the government. In this lawsuit, we have a fascinating watershed moment where industry is arguing that the government has reached the limits of its rightful ability to regulate speech, and the government is arguing that, no, we have every right to regulate this product that we feel causes cancer.
How much is at stake for tobacco companies in all of this, Bill?
The tobacco industry is making an argument that many other industries have historically made. Whether it's Pfizer and Merck in the drug industry or Merrill Lynch, for example, in the securities industry, they're arguing that at a point in time, it becomes too expensive for them to comply with government regulations and that the cost of complying hurts their bottom line. So there's a tremendous amount at stake for the tobacco industry because, quite frankly, these images are horrifying. And they will scare people away from smoking.
Bill Singer, attorney who's been looking into this tobacco story. Bill, thank you so much.
No problem, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Now our special coverage called The Breakdown, The Economy One Step at a Time. Target today reported a bigger-than-expected profit and an increase in sales last quarter. But the world's biggest retailer, Walmart, said yesterday its sales were down here in the U.S. So why the different reports? Marketplace's Eve Troe explains.
Walmart's always sold itself as a low-price leader. And customers bought that until the last few years. Now it's been challenged from above and below, says Bud Bugatch with investment firm Raymond James.
The dollar stores. That's who people most often compare them to.
By people, he means shoppers, the ones looking even harder than before for the very best deals. But competition's also been coming from the fancier discounter, Target. It's cut prices to lure families who fled to Walmart in the recession, and Target has tried to look more wallish, too.
Converting almost all of its stores to include supermarkets with drugstores, with discount stores.
That's Bert Flickinger at Strategic Resource Group. He says the discount retail space, where Walmart used to be top dog, is now a dog pile, with everyone from grocery stores to warehouse clubs jumping into the fray. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally, Standard & Poor's not only downgraded the U.S. credit rating, it also downgraded local government investments that rely heavily on U.S. securities, including the city of Los Angeles' $7 billion investment fund. So L.A. fired back by giving S&P, which rates that huge pool of money, the boot, saying it didn't want to be associated with S&P anymore. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Small businesses create most of the new jobs in this country. Lose them, too, when they go under. So how to know a business is going to stick?
If a business owner shows that, yes, not only did I pay myself, but I paid a couple of other employees, you are really destined for success.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the business side of the economy. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.